Message from last week, and how many of you were not here last week? Okay. Well, I'm going to actually redo a little bit from last week because I think it's real important for those of you who weren't here, but also just because I wasn't done. We had an illustrated sermon last week where I had three people up here, and you know, something else I'm going to do, and I just ask you to all bear with me. I'm going to maybe describe a little bit more what we're seeing up here, because there's literally probably more people who listen to this message online than are here in the congregation. So I'm hearing back, they're like, you need to explain what you're doing. We don't even, you know, because it's not video. And I think about that sometimes, but not often enough. So I'm gonna explain a little bit just so they understand. So to start off, why don't we go ahead and have the spiritually dead man, the unrenewed soul, and the unrenewed body to come back up here. We have a new spiritually dead man today.
Did Andy not meet the criteria?
Yes, you can just put that on the ground there. All right, so this represents all of us previous to being born again, right? Now, this is real. I mean, this is exactly the case. Numerous scriptures spell this out. This isn't any guesswork here. This is exactly how it is. So I just think it's really good for us to understand this. So for those of you also listening online, we have three people up here. One is in black, all black, representing our spiritually dead person. So this represents us before we have accepted Christ in our life. This is us, spiritually dead. All right, so the person's in black. Middle person is just kind of like in a jersey, looking a little bit frumpy, at least trying to make him look frumpy. Doesn't look too frumpy, but... And then our body looking even frumpier. So, is the third person. All right, so
Your
he is...
casting was really accurate.
Yeah. Yes. So, this is our spiritually... This is our spirit, this is our soul, and this is our body. And our spirit, according to the Bible, is dead... is one of the descriptions it gives to us. It also tells us that it is dark. It also says that it's black of blackness, describing our spirit before born again. So it's spiritually, our spirit is dead. This does not mean it's ceased to exist. It's actually, I don't know how to use the word alive without saying alive, because he's alive, but he's not alive. Spiritually speaking, he's dead. That means cut off from the life of God. All right, so he's cut off from the life of God, or she, our spirit man is cut off from the life of God. God is the source of all light. God is the source of all love. So this, our spirit man is cut off from that. It has absorbed all of sin. It was born, by the way, when we were born. I mean, the day we were born, this is what our spirit looked like. The very day that we were born. The Bible says we were born into sin. So it's really not even because of sin that we did, even though, of course, we sin after, you know, we grow up, we start making decisions. We add on to the sin, but we were born into this state. Then what happens is someone, Brian, why don't you come up and witness to Brian? Someone comes and witnesses to us, starts sharing the gospel, tell them the truth of the gospel, and then at some point the soul, which represents our mind, believes what he's hearing and makes the decision to bow down to God and to pray. The light representing God, they come into prayer, and so now they are in the... They're, is that blinding you?
That's good.
So, by the way, those of you online, I have a halogen, 500-watt halogen lamp shining into the soul man's eyes. So they're in the presence of God. This is literally what happens. You literally come into his presence when you pray. By the way, this is what happens every time we pray. Every single time. We come into his presence. You're being influenced by God's presence. As a result, now God says the Holy Spirit, while you're praying, the Holy Spirit moves and he comes and takes the old man, you're still here, takes the old man out, brings the new man in, and God says that Jesus was crucified and God takes us and puts us on the cross with Jesus. We are crucified with Christ. It is no longer, at this point, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul's not just being spiritual talking, he's talking literal. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right? And then it says we were crucified with him, died, and then were buried with him. So you can come off here, you get buried. Yes. And we're buried with Christ. That's permanent. You look buried. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot the last buried man. I will not forget him. You can go. You're done. Yes, thank you. So now that's kind of just taken off from where I was. Brian, you did an awesome job witnessing. Thank you very much for leading another man to Christ. Awesome job. No, you're still very soulish. Yes. All right, so now let me just pick up from last week. Oh, yeah. Now, where's little Peter? I need little Peter up here now. I should have also said this is what happens. This is where I want to pick up from last week. So now, for those of you online, we have another small little child in a white shirt representing this is what happens to our soul when we're first born again. Go ahead and turn so they can see both of you. We have, the majority of us is still the unregenerated, unrenewed soul. Very soulish, very carnal. But yet, there's a little part of us, this is because it's all one, there's a part of our soul that is renewed. Is this precious or what? Oh my goodness. Renewed. Thus the white, that is, this part is just like Jesus. And this is what the Bible is referring to when it says we are babes in Christ. It's not referring to our spirit. Colossians, is it Colossians 2:10, I think it says we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, you could even interpret that to be complete in the sense of a baby is complete, you know, like from the beginning, but still needs to grow up. However, other scriptures show us that we have the mind of Christ already. We have the anointing in us. Just as Jesus is, so are we now in this life. So these scriptures tell us that our spiritual man is mature from day one. God breathes his spirit into us. Just like in Adam in the Garden of Eden, he was a fully mature man right from the beginning. He didn't start off as a babe. Our spirit man is completely mature, right? The spiritual babe part that it's talking about is your soul. We also know this because the scripture that describe spiritual babiness talks about things like strife, anger, divisions, jealousies. All of those come out of our soul, not out of our spirit. So he's saying it's the soul that is a spiritual babe. All right? So now what happens is as he begins, as your soul, as we begin to spend time in the Word, meditating in the Word, we begin to grow up. So now that he can go down and we can get a little bit more mature. Cameron? So as we spend time in the Word, I'd like to use your Bible because mine's falling apart. So you're spending time in the Word, beautiful, meditating in the Word, and as a result of the meditation, we're getting more and more mature in Christ, growing up. And so maybe you even crouch down a little, exactly. This part is becoming less and less, and this part, the spiritual part of us, spiritually minded, is becoming more and more as we're spending time in the Word and meditating in the Word. But it's not just meditating in the Word. It's also being a doer of the word. You cannot just meditate. You can actually become extremely knowledgeable of Scripture and be extremely carnal. The key to that not happening, I hope you don't mind me standing in front of you the whole time, is that not only do we meditate in the word, but James chapter, if you put this up, James chapter 1, where does it start? About verse, let's go with like 21 through 25. And if that's not right, I'll just read the ones that are important. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. That's what he's doing right here. Receiving with meekness the engrafted word of God, right? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he is, right? What kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. So it's only as you meditate in the word, you get revelation knowledge, and then you act on that revelation knowledge. You have to act on it. When you act on it is when you literally partake of it. That's when it begins to transform who you are, because you see it. You see the results. You see the effects. And it starts to become part of your DNA. It really only then becomes part of your DNA. And it will begin to transform your life. And as a result, the more and more we do that, we become fully mature in Christ. So now you can go ahead and sit down and you become fully mature. Now, throughout this process, as the soul man, and now our soul man has put on white as well, so he is just like his spirit man. As he is maturing in this whole process, as he's growing up, your body's actually getting affected as well. If I was able to maybe just tear off one sleeve so you see some white and then tear off some more so you see more white, that would be more accurate. It's not just a sudden one thing all white. But our body literally starts to get affected. Show us Romans 8, I think it's verse 11. This is like the ultimate place, but it's a great scripture to see ultimately where we can go with this. But our body actually gets affected once our soul comes into alignment with our spirit. The spirit cannot affect the body apart from access through the soul. That's how God's laid it out. That's why meditation in the word is so important, because as our mind is being renewed, yes, that's it. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The spirit will give life to the mortal body. He's talking about this part of us. So our body literally gets affected by this. And this is where healing really takes place. Quick example. I had an ulcer for about 5 years. Once you have an ulcer, it never goes away. Naturally, there is no cure for an ulcer. It's where the inside of your lining is literally completely gone, been eaten away with acids. So the lining's not there anymore, and it does not regrow. At least that's my understanding medically. That's what I've been told. I'm not a doctor, but I've been told once you have one, it never goes away. I had it for about 5 years. I get saved. I go to a church. The man starts to preach on healing. I'm excited. I've never heard such a thing. Are you serious? Like God still is physically healing people today? But I had already learned enough from this guy. I knew what he said was real. I mean, I was just like, you know, he who receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. I received this man's words because I knew he was a man of God. I was like, man, he's saying it's real. That means it's real. So I was excited. And then at the end of the message, he said, does anyone here need any healing for anything? Come on up. I just bolted right up to the front. I'm like, this is awesome. I can get healed of this ulcer, you know? So I go up there, and then he says, elders, I would like to have you come up and pray. And I was bummed because I'm like, oh, man, I wanted him to pray for me. You know, he's the one I was kind of like believing in. And so anyhow, he had the elders come up, and the guy came up to me. I'd never met him or anything, and he just put his hand, well, he just asked me first, what do you want prayed for? And I said, well, I have an ulcer. I'd like to have that healed. He goes, okay, let's just believe God for it. And he put his hands on my shoulders just like this, one hand on each shoulder, and he said, Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus that you pay the price for our healing or whatever. You know, and just and I just pray your healing power into my brother right now. And right then, put your hands on my shoulders. I felt power go from his hands into my shoulder, down into my stomach, out of my stomach. But I could tell it was a circular motion. I just felt it come in here and then leave, and then come in here and leave. So I could feel this part of the circle. But, you know, it's just like, it's kind of hard to explain. I could tell it was circular, I guess because it was entering here and exiting here and entering here and exiting here. And then he said, do you feel that? And I said, yeah. He said, it's going into my stomach and out through my arms. It was going the same direction with him. He was describing the other half of the circle. I could feel, and he could feel it whistling through us like that, and I was completely and totally healed of an ulcer.
Come on.
Amen. I mean, I could not smell coffee without having a upset, you know, it would upset my stomach. After that, I could hammer coffee. I could drink Tabasco sauce straight if I wanted. Nothing could touch me. My stomach to this day is like an iron stomach. I can eat anything. I was totally healed of it. Well, as a result of that, I got lit about healing. So I started getting into the Word and renewing my mind. Put up Ephesians chapter 4 verses 17 through 24. This is a powerful verse of scripture. I want you guys to get this. You're right about the 10 minutes. Yeah. So I want to show you this transformation, how once the Spirit, now remember what's happening, as he's reading the Word, in fact, why don't you go ahead and turn, oh, you are there, good job. As he's reading the Word, remember what this is like, temporarily maybe. Reading the Word is like holding a mirror, and through the mirror he's seeing his spirit man, and he's learning about his spirit. For those of you online, he's holding up a mirror instead of the Bible. We replaced it with a mirror. So he's looking into the mirror. The soul man is looking into the mirror, and he can see the spirit man who's standing behind him. Looking into the Word of God is like looking into a mirror and seeing our spirit man, because that's the only way. Spiritually speaking, you cannot see or feel your soul. You cannot... The five physical senses cannot contact your spirit. Did you know that? Yeah, your five physical senses. You cannot see, hear, taste, smell, or feel, did I say them all right? Your spirit. And you may say, well, wait a minute, I have felt the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, that is an act of the Holy Spirit for that to happen. And it's a beautiful thing. Only when God moves can you sense his presence, because he allows it. But apart from God doing a supernatural move, like right now, can you feel your spirit? Can you, are you in touch with your spirit? If I asked you, I asked Brian right now, how do you feel right now? Brian's gonna, exactly. Well, no, he's gonna, I'm just saying you physically, how do you feel?
Oh, my belly hurts.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you're a little depressed because you're broke.
Life sucks.
Your belly hurts. Your yeah. So you can right now assess immediately. Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you just about right? Are you sad? Are you happy? I mean, you can immediately. If I asked you how are you, you can go. You just kind of do a real quick check, and you can check your emotions. You can check your physical feeling. Right? You're in touch with your physical feeling. You're in touch with your emotions. You can tell me in a moment where you are. But if I asked you, how is your spirit? I mean, you know it is because you know the Word, but you can't feel your spirit. Really? Well, what you're feeling is the Spirit has affected your soul. That's when you feel it. I'm getting technical, but it's accurate. You cannot feel your spirit. It's impossible. Your spirit can affect your soul with joy, love, peace. You feel that, the effect of your spirit. But you're not feeling your spirit. You're feeling the effect of your spirit. Now again, apart from the Holy Spirit moving supernaturally, then suddenly you can feel his presence. That's different. That's God supernaturally moving. So what happened was, so Ephesians 4 says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened," right? The mind of our soul is our understanding. Having their understanding. Paul is saying this to Christians. Don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Here's the result. Being alienated from the life of God. The spirit man that's on the inside of you. Yeah, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardening of their heart, being alienated from the life of God. Is that right at that point? Okay. Because of the ignorance that's in the others. Who being past feeling. Now, let's just jump down to verse 24 and 25, I think. Where is it? Okay, good. Yeah, let's go with, yeah, start in 23. And be renewed. No, yeah, I want to start with 22. That you, here's what we're supposed to do instead. We're saying instead of being, leaving ourselves in a place of ignorance, our hearts are hardened. As a result, we are alienated, cut off from the life of God. It says instead, put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He says, put off the old man, and put on the new man. This is the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. He says, put this man on instead. Right? This is an act of faith. You have to believe this. You have to read the word in order to put on what your spirit man is. This is something you have to do. You cannot be a hearer only deceiving yourself. Well, yeah, I know it's what the word says. I'm born again, you know. But you're not experiencing it because you're not doing what it says to do. So it says that you put off concerning your former conduct, verse 22, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's reading the word. He sees his spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, he goes on to say, putting away lying, let each one speak truth. So such things as lying is part of the old man, right? So this is the, so this is what happened. I start reading the word, meditating the word on healing. And I read every scripture I can find on healing. After I got healed of my ulcer. I start reading the word and reading the word and reading the word. And then I'm really getting pumped. I'm starting to get to the place where, well, actually, I got to a place where I totally believed it. So I know this will work if I lay hands on sick people. So I started praying for sick. And I prayed for multitudes of sick people for an entire year, and nobody got healed. Nothing happened. I prayed for a bunch of people with colds and flus, and nothing happened. I prayed for, you know, this one lady with a sore throat, and it got worse, you know. I prayed for everything that moved and anyone who would let me pray for them. Nothing worked. Then, it's about a year later, I get an ingrown toenail, which I was getting like annually, and they were very bad and very painful. And if anyone's had one, you don't know how it is. And this time I said, I'm not going to a doctor to get this one fixed. I'm believing God because I know it's true. So I'm believing and believing and believing and believing. Well, months go by. It gets so bad, because you're not supposed to let it go like that, I ended up having to wear tennis shoes just to get by, just to have a little more space or whatever. And then I finally caved in, and I went to the doctor. And when he saw it, he's like, why in the world did you wait so long? And they had to do a full-blown operation. Instead of a very simple deal, they just kind of shoot some Novocaine in there and fix it and send you on your way. It became a full operation on my toe. And they had to cut down to the root and cut the root. It was miserable and painful. I go back home and, you know, I'm all bandaged up and I get through that. And then, I don't know, about a month or two later, I'm still meditating in the Word. I'm not just reading the Word. I'm getting books by people like T.L. Osborne and Bosworth and Kenyon and all these people who have great healing experiences. They've healed thousands of people, and I'm reading their books to help, you know, and that helped me advance very much, you know, it took me a lot further in my understanding. About a month or two later, after the ingrown toenail event, I end up getting my mom, I'm living at my mom's house, she gets the flu, my brother Gary, my older brother's there, he gets the flu. They've been sick for 2 or 3 days. I'm still not sick. And everyone who gets this is sick for like 3 weeks. It's a really bad one. Everyone in the city of Columbus practically has got it. I mean, it's one of those ones that spread all over. And I was like, oh, I don't want to get this. Everyone looks so miserable. I mean, it's just like, oh, you know, you hurt from head to toe. Every part of your body hurts. Your hair hurts. That kind of flu. I didn't want it. Well, I'm like 3 days into it. I don't have it. And I'm thinking, here I am, man, great man of faith and power. It's because I've been getting the Word in me. You know, I'm not getting it. And then about the third day, I woke up, and I remember as soon as I woke, I could feel that every muscle in my body ached. Everything hurt. And I got out of bed, my back hurt, my legs hurt, my head was pounding. I was like, oh, no. Sure enough, I had it. I walked around the house for about 3 hours in the morning, the majority of the morning, just miserable. And I was like, man. I was so frustrated, and at one point, I went upstairs into my bedroom, and I just started pacing the floor, and I started quoting the Word, by His stripes, I was healed. By His stripes, I was healed. Because I was like, man, what's wrong with, I know what the Word says about this. And I just kept quoting the Word, by His stripes, I was healed. Surely He hath borne my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and by His stripes, I was healed. And when I said it one more time, the by His stripes I was healed. That part about the was struck my spirit. And it exploded with a revelation knowledge. I was healed. And it just hit me. I'm not trying to get healed. That's the problem. I've been trying to get healed. I already was healed 2,000 years ago. But, you know, I can tell you with English words right now, it's different when it's a revelation from God. Remember I talked about two kinds of knowledge? There's head knowledge and there's revelation knowledge. The way you get from head to the revelation knowledge, head knowledge, revelation, is by meditation in the Word. And it drops down into your spirit, and your spirit communicates it to you, and you get it by the Spirit. I got it. I was healed. Then I literally just said, sickness, go! And with the word go, it was like I spit it out of my body. I was instantly healed. 100% like, dun-da-da, Superman. I mean, strong. It wasn't a recovery after that. I mean, I was instantly 100% full of energy, just like I'd never gotten sick. I mean, just right to, going from sickness to exactly as if I had never been sick. Instantaneous energy, strength, perfect. Well, this is my first experience of this, other than getting healed by an ulcer, you know, a year earlier. First time this happened through me, I started going nuts. I'm running back and forth in the room. I'm shouting hallelujah. This is awesome. And then I stopped, and I asked God, but wait a minute, why didn't that work with my ingrown toenail? And all those other people I prayed for, why? I mean, I'm glad it happened now, but I'm trying to understand this. Why didn't it happen before? And then the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark 4:26-29, which is often how the Lord talks to me. He gives me scriptures. And I went to the scriptures and it says, "Is the whole kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground, will sleep and rise night and day. The seed will sprout and grow. He himself knoweth not how, for the earth brings forth fruit of itself. First the blade, bloop, right? Little comes up. As I'm sowing the word, the seed that he sows, he's talking about, is the word of God. We know that earlier in the chapter, I think it's verse 13 in the chapter says, the seed is the word, or the word is the seed, one or the other. So it tells us that the seed is the word of God. The kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground. The seed is the word, the ground is his heart. He's scattering seed. That's what the soul's doing right here. As you're reading the word, you're scattering seed into your heart. This is your heart. You're reading, you're putting seed into your heart. He says the seed will sprout and grow in you. You know not how. I love that. You don't even have to know how it works. Our parts just get the word into us. The seed will sprout and grow in our heart. We know not how. First the blade, you know, like in a garden, you have the little blade that comes out of the dirt. then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Right? So the ripening process. And it says, then, it says, and when the harvest has come, immediately he puts in his sickle, for his harvest has come. And then the Lord spoke to me. After I read that, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Brad, it's not what you did today that got you healed. It's what you did today and yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. And he says, now your harvest has come in. Now, he said this, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So what happened was, as I meditated in the Word, getting back to how this transfer happens, I meditated in the Word, learning who I really am, that my spirit man here, who I really am in the Spirit. It eventually, as my mind got renewed and became one with my spirit, this flowed from my soul. My spirit flows through my soul into my body, affecting my body. Now you can take off your shirt. And then my body comes into agreement. Woo, baby. Easy. Here, let me hold you. You got it?
I got it.
So my body comes into alignment with my soul, which is in alignment with my spirit. This is a mature man. Actually, I think scripturally you're mature even just when your soul's mature, but this is a fully mature man. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, I think, says this. Till we all come. It's talking about growing up in the Lord. It says he's given us some. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to do what I'm doing right now, to equip the saints, right, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith. This is what's happening right here. He's come into the unity of the faith of the Son of God that exists in what he's talking about. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Right? To what? A perfect man. This is what God calls a perfect man. Where am I? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He has come, we, if we're in this position, we have come into the fullness of Christ. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. So, this is how the whole process works. This is spiritual maturity. Previous to this, when he was still in the jersey and he was still in his other thing, we had the little Peter up here in the white, that's spiritual immaturity. And this is where most of the body of Christ stays. They get born again and they stay there. And that's why they act like, when they still have their unrenewed self on, they can act, we can act like idiots. Now, we as Christians interact with other Christians who act like idiots, we can think they're hypocrites. Right? Well, you know, you call yourself a Christian and yet you're mean as a snake or whatever. We need to understand something, and that is this. This is very important, how we are going to respond to this. Now listen, this is a major step for becoming mature in your walk with God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. And it says this. What does it say? Give me the first couple words. Yes. Second Corinthians 5, 15, yeah, through 17. And he died for all. He's talking about Jesus. That those who live should no longer live for themselves. Tell you what, give me 14 through 17. Please. For the love of Christ compels us or constrains us. The New King James says, for the love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus. We judge thus. This is how we judge. That if one died, talking about Jesus, for all, then all died. Right? And he did, he's saying he did die for all. He died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves. So this person should no longer live for themselves. I should no longer live for myself, right? But for him, for Jesus, who died and rose again. Therefore, now listen, this is how we respond to other Christians. This is how we respond to even to those who are in the world, but especially to Christians. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. For though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we now know him thus no longer, right? We relate to Christ by faith and according to his spirit. It says, so this is how we respond to other people. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, for even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, look, I'm looking at these guys, and let's pretend they're still unrenewed and they're acting, you know, not so great as Christians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. This is real. Whether they have taken the time to renew their mind and grow up and mature, this is real. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm pointing to the spirit man for those of you. The spirit man of us is what's new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God. This is God's work. All things are of God. God's at work here. This is God's handiwork, and he's working in them and in us, right? So it helps us to know we are supposed to respond to them based on their spirit. Amen. That's good. And so literally, when people, I think I'm done with you guys. I think you can go ahead and sit down at this point. Thank you so much. Amen. This is a real, a couple shortcuts to really growing spiritually mature fast is to understand a couple scriptures really well. One of them is the one we just talked about, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Basically about, I think about 13 or 14 is where it starts through 17. It keeps going. It's rich all the way through 21, but still, this particular section says how we are to relate to other Christians. You know, as some of you know, I recently went through a deal here about a year and a half ago where there were some people that were very upset over some things, and they wrote a bunch of letters about me. I mean, just like crazy lies, just ridiculous stuff, just to try and hinder me from moving forward in the ministry. I can honestly tell you, with God as my witness, when I read those letters, it was virtually nothing. It meant nothing to me. I read the letters, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was almost just embarrassed for the people that wrote the letters. I was like, seriously? This is how you're going to act? Oh my gosh. I mean, it made me just want to pray for them. And just, you know, I was just like, literally, if anything, my strongest reaction was embarrassment for them, that they would act like that. I think, without question, had I not gone through the renewing process of my mind over the years, those letters could have just laid me to waste. I mean, they were terrible. And they sent them to tons of people. I mean, they sent them to everyone they had an email on. Some of my friends who have nothing to do with this church or anything got it. I mean, they sent it to everyone that they had an email for. You know, that could be extremely humiliating. But listen, here's what the thinking process of my mind was. I know that they're my brothers and sisters. I know that. I know that the same spirit of Christ that's in me is in them. So that's the first thing. It's real important to help us grow in our spiritual maturity. This is how we relate to other people. A couple things. These are real powerful shortcuts to get there quickly. Understand, they have the same spirit in them. Let me put it this way. If I was my soul, and I'm struggling with this, and I was able to turn and commune with my spirit and say, how do you feel about this, spirit, my spirit man? The spirit man would say a couple things to me, I'm certain. One, you know, Brad, they have the same spirit in them that you have in you. Right? Two, God died for them just like he died for you. He loves them just like he loves you. Three, if they're acting really ugly, I assure you there's a devil in the woodpile somewhere. So if you're going to get mad at anybody, get mad at the devil. Four, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 4, right? Or 6. Ephesians 6. So understanding, one, they have a spirit in them the same as us. It's perfect. It's just the soul part that's acting up. Just knowing that is really powerful. It's very helpful. Number two, knowing God died for them just like he died for us. Number three, knowing God loves them just like he loves me. Because, you know, we can really easily think in those situations, man, God, I know he's really happy with me, and I know he is not loving them very much right now. I mean, they're acting like, you know, it's not true. God loves them exactly the same as he loves you and loves me. And so now what God wants is for us to respond to them the way that he would respond to them, because we're supposed to be like Christ in the earth. So these are very helpful. Let me try and close it with this. Well, man, there's so much more I want to say in our 5 minutes. The whole point of this maturation process is so that we can experience more of what God has for us. Right? That's the point of it. God has so much more for us. I would venture to say the majority of us experience probably less than 2 or 3% of what God has for us. I mean, really. Literally. That might even be like really optimistic. We experience so little of what God has for us. Read in the New Testament. Look at Peter. Look at Paul. Look at James. Look at any number of other people who walked with God, where Peter could walk down the street and people who were even within a shadow's distance of him got healed. Now, how many of you know there was no power in his shadow? It was literally the distance that it's referring to. Just being that close, there was such an aura. There was such an, there was so much. You know, the spirit, the soul, and the body? He had renewed his mind so much that his body was literally charged with the power of God, such that if anyone came within a foot or two or three of him, they would be touched by that power and get healed. That's what was happening. John G. Lake talks about that experience. You saw it in Romans 8. It says, if the spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. It's talking about, it will literally charge your body with the life of God. That's the maturation process. We begin to experience that kind of power where your body becomes charged. John G. Lake, long story short, in Africa dealing with the bubonic plague, all the scientists were going over there doing a lot of research. They're all suited up, gloves, everything, masks, because this is so contagious that just coming in touch with it, you're dead. Well, John's operating without a suit. And other scientists talked to him and said, how is it that you're even here? And he's been over there for months. Others were going in and getting quick information and bolting. I mean, they didn't want to be around it. He's there for months, unsuited. And they're like, well, how is this even possible? And he said, you see that man over there? And there was a dead man laying there with, you know, foam coming out of his mouth. He said, take some of that foam and put it on a slide. Put it on the microscope. And they did. It's teeming with bubonic plague. He says, now put it on my hand. And they're like, what? You're crazy. He says, put it on my hand. So they do. They put it on his hand. They put it back on the slide, put it under the microscope, and they looked under the microscope, and it's dead. It was teeming with bubonic plague earlier, completely dead. He says, my body's charged with the life of God such that no sickness or disease can stand in my presence.
Come on.
It just kills it. That's the level he got to. Peter was walking in a level greater than that. Sickness could come within 3 feet of him and would be destroyed. The power of God. That's the kind of stuff that's available to us. I mean, we can read about Peter and go, woo! Do you realize that's available for you and me? We can walk in that. That's the kind of stuff we should be going after. If we're still dealing with, oh, I'm angry because they wrote a letter about me, and we get all upset, do you realize we're still way back in this maturation process where the soul person is still that little person, right? We got a long way to go where our minds are renewed, no longer being alienated or cut off from the life of God, and the power of God is flowing through our soul into our body and affecting everyone around us. The joy is increased enormously. Faith is increased enormously. Peace is increased enormously. Long suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, all of this. I've seen it in my own life where I'm buried in the Word, spending multiplied hours every day, month after month after month, and I find myself walking in such outrageous joy and such outrageous peace. And then I go through a season of my life, stupid, where I'm not spending anywhere near as much time in the Word, and it just starts to diminish. And I find myself wrestling with relationships around me. I find myself struggling. I find myself with anxiety, you know, that kind of thing. And then I get back in the Word, and it starts to go away. I get filled with joy and filled with peace. There is a power available to us through the meditation and acting on the Word of God that very few of us experience. But I just want you to know, you don't have to wait for anybody. You can do this. If no one else around you does it, you can do it. Now, as we do this, what happens is when someone, let's say someone says something to me, it's really nasty. I mean, really not good. And they just, you know, they get to me. And I find myself responding to that. Here's what I do. I just need to stop and ask myself, what would God have to say about this situation? Right? This is being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Well, I know what they did, and they know what they're doing, and that's all that matters, and this needs to be dealt with. Let me tell you, that is not all that matters. They know what they did, and that's all that matters. No, that's not all that matters. What matters is, what does God have to say about this?
Amen.
That's what matters. So then you take your understanding that you've renewed your mind to, say, what does God have to say about this? And you respond, instead of how you feel, how I feel, we say, I'm dead to myself. I'm going to respond the way God wants me to respond, even though there's maybe nothing in you that wants to. There really is something in you, but in your soul, there's nothing in you that wants to. You do it anyhow. In that situation where your wife or your husband has said something to you, or your coworker or your boss, and you want to respond in anger, and you say, no, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, is not provoked, thinks no evil, right? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, and you respond out of that instead. The more we do that, if we do that step by step, the Bible says this is what will bring you into maturity. For those who receive meat are those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's a whole teaching in itself, but it's what I just explained. I could break that down so you'd understand it, but I don't have time. As we do that, and we do that in the small deals that feel like big deals right now, when your wife or your husband or your coworker or someone has said something to you and you respond godly, those are small matters, as much as you think they're big matters. First of all, do you know what that does to your marriage or your relationship? If both of you respond like God would to each other, Your marriage, your relationships with your boss, your coworkers, your friends, your spouse, your boyfriend and girlfriend will go through the roof. You will begin to experience the life of God in your relationship as you act like God. But then what happens, you get into bigger situations because you get good at that. God will he'll be able to entrust you for bigger deals. And he begins to move you into other situations. You know, it's really true. I've heard this said many times. I know it's true. When you go to a new level, at new levels, you've got new devils. At higher levels, you've got higher devils. God is not going to put you and me in positions of great power and great influence when we are still getting upset because our coworker looked at us wrong. Not going to happen. Because God will put power on you, and your words will become more powerful. And if God just turned up all the power, we're crying out for God's power, right? And we're saying, God, turn up the power. I want to operate in your power. Where's the power of God? I want the power of God. If we're not operating like God in these small matters, and he turns up the power, the first person to cut you off on the freeway, man, you're going to cast him into the abyss with your words. So he's not doing it. He's not going to turn up the power until we show responsibility, maturity in Christ. Amen. And we begin to mature in Christ. We begin to act like Christ with our wives, with our husbands, with our boyfriends and our girlfriends, with that person in the store, with that government worker. When we begin to act like, yeah, I knew that would strike some chords. When we begin to act like Christ with everyone, and what happens is we will naturally start acting more like Jesus. It will become part of our nature. First, it's just hard. It's just hard work. It's a fight. Paul calls it a fight because your mind will want you to go a different way. And you have to say, no, I'm going to act like Christ in this situation. Amen. All right. There's a lot more. I'll pick this up next week. I was just about to get in some really good stuff here. But I still have it. We'll get into it next week. Praise God. All right.
Well, we'll do prayer. I want to encourage us. One of the things I love about Brad, when he started in this role a couple years ago, Mark Crawford, a friend of ours from Australia, was talking with the leaders on Skype and said, you know, you'll find about Brad, because Mark knew Brad a bit, you'll find about Brad, he empowers people. He's an empowerer. And I knew it then, and I know it all the more now. And that's what I love about these sorts of messages. If it creates a little bit of a hunger in you, isn't that great? Because what does that hunger do? It empowers you to go study, to get in the Word, to get our face in the Word, to hold up that mirror, to see what's behind us. You know what I'm saying? And so I just want to encourage us that what Brad's actually doing here is he's preaching hunger, and then telling you how to get satisfied. Isn't that great? He's preaching hunger and telling you how to get satisfied, but we can't just be hearers of the word only. We have to be doers also. And so I love that part. So I just want to encourage us in, you know, and he's like, there's more, and I'm excited that there's more, but we've got enough, I think, to just start stepping in this week. So I want to encourage us in that.
Amen.
Well, if anyone would like prayer, Lord, we pray sealing of this word in Jesus' name. We pray it'd start bearing fruit in our hearts, in particular, the exponential growth that comes from us catching a hunger in our own hearts for this maturation process. Thank you, Lord, for what's afforded to us.
Amen.
Amen. All right, come up for prayer needs.
God bless you. We'll see you next week.